Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, if there's anything that living through this pandemic has taught us, it's that we need God and His Word, the Bible, more than ever. And because of this, Pastor Rick has decided to bring us the third installment of his powerful series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. Stay with us as we continue with our series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's wonderful book, The Purpose of Christmas, just in time for the season. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Faith for Facing an Uncertain Future.
Psalm 119, verse 32. I love it in the Message translation. David prays this. He says, I'll run the course you lay out for me if you'll just show me how. This is what David says to God. I will run the course that you lay out for me if you'll just show me how. That's the thing you want to pray. And that's the first way you deal with an uncertain future, is you pray when you plan. You don't just sit around and tread water drifting. If you're drifting, if you're coasting, you're always heading downhill. Now, there's a second mistake that we make about the future. The first one is we plan without praying. But the second mistake that we make about the future is this. We presume that we'll have tomorrow. We presume that we're going to have tomorrow. Now, James chapter 4, the next couple of verses say this, verses 14 to 16. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. He says, you know, you're making all these plans about we're going to go to the city and do this and build this and start this business. He says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And your life is as brief as the mist of a morning fog. He said, it's here for a little while and then it just disappears. So instead, James says, what you ought to say is, if it is the Lord's will, if it is the Lord's will. This is a phrase you need to become very comfortable with. You know, in Arabic, they say, inshallah. Inshallah, I mean, if it is the Lord's will. In Spanish, it's ojalá, which it comes out of the Arabic, actually. But it's saying, if it's the Lord's will, we will live to do this or that. And James says, otherwise, you're just boasting. You're just bragging about yourself when you're announcing your big plans that you're going to do. And he said, that kind of pride is wrong and evil. Did you know that there's a good kind of pride in the Bible and there's a bad kind of pride? The good kind of pride is when you say, I'm proud of what God is doing in my life. You're not comparing yourself to others. It says, never compare yourself, it says in Corinthians, so that you can take pride in yourself without comparing yourself to others. The moment you compare yourself to others, then it becomes bad pride. But he says here, it's just dumb to presume upon tomorrow. It's sinful to waste my life. Now, I want you to notice that verse I just read, that there are two reasons we shouldn't assume that we have a lot of time. Two reasons that we shouldn't just be treading water. We should be making the most of the time we've got right now. First, he says, the future is uncertain. Okay? And he says that he starts off that sentence with, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow, much less next week, next month, or next year. None of us can predict what will happen in the next 365 days. The day before 9/11 crisis, nobody could have predicted how it would change our lives. The day before the Katrina hurricane, nobody could have predicted how it would change lives. So right now, I would like you to write down on your outline, write down the word life, okay? Just go ahead and write it down, L-I-F-E, all right? Write it on your outline. Now, what I want you to do is circle the middle two letters of the word life, I-F. Have you ever realized that there's a big if in the middle of your life? There's a big if in the middle of L-I-F-E. Nothing is certain in this life. The only thing that's certain in this life is the truth of God's word, the consistency of God's love for you, the dependability of God's goodness, and the reliability of God's promises. Nothing else is dependable because it's all a big if. And he says, you know, life is unpredictable. So he says, you need to don't be presumptuous about the future. And then he says the second reason you shouldn't be presumptuous and shouldn't assume that I've got a lot of time left is he said, my life on earth is temporary. He said, really, it's not that long. He said, your life here is as brief as a mist of the morning fog, and it vanishes. You know that word mist in Greek? It's the word atmos in Greek. It's where the word we get atmosphere from. He said, it's like breathing on a mirror that you breathe and it fogs it all up, and then just a couple seconds later, it fades away. Or it's like here in Southern California in the summer where we come in with the June gloom and the fog covers up everything, but it's burned off by noon. He's saying that your life is like a morning fog. And that journey from Hot Wheels to wheelchair, it's pretty fast. It's pretty fast. In purpose-driven life, I explained that life is a test, and life is a trust, and life is a temporary assignment. And so because it actually comes pretty quickly. In light of eternity, 60, 80, even 100 years isn't very long. Now listen, if you're an average human being, you're going to probably live on average, the average human being lives 27,375 days. 27,375 days. Somebody figured that out. But you know what? You have no guarantee of tomorrow. And each of us is only one heartbeat away from eternity. So whatever you're going to do with your life, you better get on it. The second key to facing an uncertain future, remember the first key? Pray while you're planning. You ought to plan. The Bible says you ought to plan. It's smart to plan, but you pray while you're planning. So you're not just doing it on self-energy and your own willpower. Second key to facing an uncertain future, live one day at a time and make it count. Live one day at a time and make it count. That's the next thing that James says about the future. Fortunately, the good news about the future is it doesn't hit you all at once. We get it in bite-sized 24-hour segments. You know, if you got your entire life thrown at you all at once, without any doubt, it'd be overwhelming. So God gives it to us in 24-hour, day-by-day segments. Let me give you a couple verses that talk about this. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says this, "Don't worry about tomorrow." Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's Jesus talking. He's saying, in other words, stop borrowing trouble. If you got something you're worried about and it's not even going to happen until next week, why are you messing up today? Worry can't change the past. Worry can't control the future. All it does is mess up today. It robs you of energy. It's stewing without doing. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. You're rocking back and forth, using energy on worry, but it doesn't do anything. It can't change anything. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't borrow trouble. God gives you just enough grace every day for each day. He doesn't stockpile all that power in your life and say, oh, I'm going to give it to you for the next week or the next month. He says, give us this day our daily bread, not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread. God says, I want you to take life one day at a time. Now, anybody can do that. When you don't know what the future holds, you can still take life one day at a time. There's the old little poem, life by the yard is hard, but by the inch, it's a cinch. So I want to highly recommend that you start taking life one day at a time. You plan and pray, set some goals for your life. Don't be just treading water during this time, but say, how do I want to be different by the end of this year? And by the way, one of the things I highly recommend during this time is that you reduce your media intake, okay? Stop filling your mind with so much garbage, so much fear, so much tension, so much conflict. Don't worry about that. And don't worry about tomorrow. But also don't presume about it either. We don't want to worry about the future. We don't want to presume about the future. We don't want to take the future for granted, because we're not guaranteed anything but right now. Proverbs 27, verse 1 in the Message says this: don't brashly brag about what you're going to do tomorrow, because you don't know the first thing about tomorrow. That's about as clear as you can get. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. I don't either. We're all guessing. Now, we can plan for tomorrow, but we can only live in today, okay? You can plan for tomorrow, but you can only live today. Somebody said, life is what happens when you're making other plans. Now, in this little passage of five verses, there's a third mistake that we make about the future, okay? We make a mistake about the future when we try to, make plans without praying, and we get all messed up in the future when we try to presume that things are going to go the way we want them to go and that we've got plenty of time. Here's the third mistake we make about the future: when we put off doing what's right and good right now. When we put off doing what's right and good right now. In other words, we know the good thing to do, but we postpone it. We delay it. It is the sin of procrastination. And James ends this section by talking about the sin of procrastination. Now, the fact is, procrastination, where you just keep delaying, you know the right thing to do, you just don't do it, destroys your potential. It wastes your life. It misuses your time. It misses golden opportunities that God has given you. And that's why in the last verse of this passage, James 4:17, he says this: but remember, after he's talked about these other things, presumption, okay, and praying, planning without praying. And now he's talking about procrastination. He says, but remember, anytime you know the right and good thing to do and you don't do it, then you sin. This is one we all fall for, folks. Procrastination is my sin. It only brings me sorrow. I know I ought to change my ways. In fact, I will tomorrow. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but you can sin by doing nothing. You can sin by doing nothing. It's not just the sins of commission, it's the sins of omission, when you know the right thing to do, but you don't do it. So let me ask you right now to consider three very personal questions. Number one, what is the next step in your spiritual growth and obedience that you need to take right now? And you haven't done it yet. What's the next step in your spiritual growth and obedience you need to take, but you haven't done it yet? Let me give it to you in another way. Here's another question. What do you know God wants you to do, but you're still putting it off? And you have postponed it over and over and over. Maybe to reconcile with that person, to forgive that person. Maybe it is to give your life to Christ. Maybe you need to get involved in a ministry. You know who are the happiest people in our church right now? The 13,000 volunteers who are helping in our food distribution center, where 13,000 people have fed over 250,000 people, 2.5 million pounds of food, and led this week, this week on Friday, we passed over 10,000 people having given their lives to Christ through the food pantry. That's unheard of. 10,000 new baby believers, because people just like you are sharing their faith through a car window as we give them food. Let me give you another question. What excuse have you been using to not do what you know you need to do? Well, one of these days, you keep saying one of these days. One of these days is none of these days. Or when I get around to it. Have you ever seen around to it? You know, I'll buy you around to it and give it to you, because when you get around to it, then you'll actually get it done. What am I saying? As your pastor who loves you, whatever it is that you need to do, do it now. Don't wait for this pandemic to be over. Don't wait. Don't waste another week or month or months. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says this, we can be sure we know Christ if we obey his commands. And the one who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands, is a liar. He's saying actions speak louder than words. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So whatever you intend to do for God, do it now. Whatever you need to do for your family, do it now. Don't wait till this pandemic's over. Whatever you need to do for your wife or your husband, do it now. Whatever, you're not guaranteed tomorrow or next week or next month. Some of you, as I said earlier, have been considering for some time your need to open up your life to Jesus Christ. Why don't you do it right now? Do it today. It would be my privilege to lead you in a prayer. If you've been thinking about having a relationship with Christ, I can help you begin that today. Begin a friendship with God. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a personal relationship with Christ. I've known Christ for over 50 years. I've walked with him. He's my best friend. And you can know him that way too. Why don't we do it right now? Let's bow our heads and in your mind say, Dear God, I don't understand it all, but I want to get to know you. Just say that, honestly. The words don't matter. What matters is just a humble attitude. Say, Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to earth to show your love for me, to pay for all my sins so I don't have to pay for them, to show me the way to heaven. I need a Savior. I need you in my life. I want to begin a friendship with God today. And so humbly, as best I know how, I'm asking you to accept me as I put my faith in you and I receive your gift of free salvation. And I do this today because I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm not going to procrastinate. I don't know how many days I've got left, but I want them to be the best of my life, the rest of my life. So I ask you to come into my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, so many of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like to let you know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Have you noticed that people are more open to talking about Jesus at Christmas than at any other time of the year? Regardless of their religious background or their problems or their circumstances, everybody needs to know that Jesus loves them, that Christmas means that God has a plan for their life, and that God is with us. So this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to share the story of Christmas with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Now, one of the ways you can do this is through a little book I wrote called The Purpose of Christmas. It explains the true meaning of Christmas and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And when you give somebody a copy of The Purpose of Christmas, it's going to start a conversation with them about Jesus and about the purpose of his love and the purpose for their lives. You can invite them to a Christmas Eve service at your church. This month, I'd like to send you a copy of this book, The Purpose of Christmas. You can read it. You can pass it on to a friend who needs to know the true meaning.
Just partner with us at Daily Hope and let us partner with you in reaching your friends and family for Christ. By the way, write to me, rick@pastorrick.com, and let me know who you're praying for, who you want to come to Christ this Christmas, who you're inviting to church. I'd love to pray with you about that. God bless you.
Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.